To most of the world, the Bible is just a history book or a book of practical wisdom, but it's far more than those things. The Bible is God's Word. Here on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, we believe that the Bible is more than just a bestseller, but it's powerful and life-changing. The Bible has the answers to your important questions and can teach us about the things that are visible and invisible. This is why we are excited to share God's timeless truths with you. We are glad that you have joined us this Sunday morning for our program. And our prayer, as always, is that you would allow God's Word to direct your life. Here is Pastor Burns.
This is this in verse number 14, Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture that we have before us. It is a Scripture of the Apostle Paul writing about the Gospel and bringing the Gospel into the Roman province, and the gospel message into this wonderful area. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. As we look at your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and guide and direct our thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would calm our thinking here this morning. There are so many things that are happening in our life each day. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus, to narrow in on your word this morning. Give us understanding. I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are familiar in our Bible and the Gospels of the I Ams of Jesus. As the Lord Jesus introduced himself to his disciples and to the multitudes, he often said that he was the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the life. And over again, the Lord Jesus introduces himself as I am. When we go back to the Old Testament, and Moses is concerned to stand before Pharaoh or stand before the children of Israel first, and he says to the Lord, he says, who do I tell them, the children of Israel, who do I tell them sent me? And God says, don't worry about it, Moses. You just tell them that I am has sent you. And so when we think of the Lord Jesus and the I Ams and the Gospels, we're reminded of the deity of Jesus, that he is the I Am. He's the great I Am. And when we think of the I Ams of the Lord Jesus, we also think of the gospel message that Jesus Christ died so that we could have eternal life. Now, when we come into the epistles or the letters written to the churches, we find in the book of Romans, here the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers, and he gives to us these I Ams. Now, he is not claiming or saying that he is deity, but this is a wonderful thought as we think of Paul's life and we think of his life as far as being sold out to Jesus Christ. And there's some wonderful thoughts here. He says, I am debtor, I am ready, and I am not ashamed. And I think we can learn something from these statements that Paul makes to these believers in Rome. And so we're going to look at them together. Number one, let's look at what the Bible says. Verse number 14, he begins by writing, I am debtor. Verse 14 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, when we think of the word debt, we think of fear. But the word debt means obligation. The Bible says the debtor is servant to the lender. And what that passage of Scripture is saying is that there is an obligation that the debtor has to the lender. Now, oftentimes we say, well, God is against debt, but that is not true. God isn't against debt. God told the wealthy of Israel to lend to the poor. God is against usury in the Bible when people take advantage with unreasonable interest. When people take advantage of other people. But the word debt just simply means this. It means there's an obligation there. There's an obligation there. Someone will say to you, well, do you own your home? I'll say, yeah, I do own my home. I own my home and also the Royal Bank. They own a piece of it as well. There's an obligation there. I have a mortgage and I pay my mortgage. I'm obligated to pay that mortgage. And you shouldn't have debt if you are not willing to be obligated to pay off that debt or to pay that debt. And a lot of people in our generation today, they'll say, well, you know, I'll just take on this debt. It doesn't matter if I pay it or not. That's not a Christian attitude. You should pay your bills. That's in the Bible. And so the reality is that there is an obligation that we have. And Paul is saying here is that he has an obligation. Now, obviously, he's not talking about a financial obligation. But his obligation, this debt that he's talking about, he is obligated to preach the gospel message. Now, when we think of our Christian life, and I don't know your spiritual condition, I hope that you're born again. I hope you're a part of God's family and that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. But the reality is that every single Christian here is in the same place. We're all in the same scenario. It's the principle of the turtle on the fence post. This describes all of us here who know the Lord. Now, the turtle on the fence post philosophy or principle is really three main points. Number one, the turtle on the fence post is above the realm of most turtles. And also, he didn't get on that fence post by himself. Someone had to help him along. He didn't crawl up there by himself. And he owes his rise to fame or his position because of someone else that helped him. And that is the same with every single Christian here this morning. We did not get to where we are. Our position in Christ is not because something that we have earned or we have done. It is by the grace of God and only by the grace of God. Now, I'm not sure, again, where you are spiritually. I can only tell and speak of myself this morning. But now I know in my Christian life where I am, and I know how I got there, and that is by the grace of God. The reality is that we are all debtors. First of all, I am a debtor to my parents who raised me in a Christian home and brought me to church and gave to me the gospel. They gave to me the gospel. I heard the gospel for the first time because of my upbringing, because my parents saw it important to take me to church or to read the Bible with me. And so I am a debtor, first of all, to the fact that God saved me. And I'm a debtor to my parents who gave me the gospel and told me of the wonderful news that Jesus loved me and Jesus died for me. And I'm a debtor to my pastor. Pastor Reason was my first pastor that I remember. I went to church when I was a baby. The first pastor I remember was Pastor Reason. And he was a great influence in my life. And I thank the Lord for his work in my life. I'm a debtor to Forest Glen Bible Camp. And I was 18 years old when I went to Forest Glen. I surrendered to preach there. And I thank God for the influence that Pastor Reason has had in my life and Forest Glen Bible Camp has had in my life. I'm a debtor to Pastor Bray. That was the pastor after Pastor Reason that came and the influence and the help that he has had in my life. I remember when I was a teenager, I doubted my salvation for a time. And I remember calling him up and talking with him and him giving me some Bible verses and helping me to get that assurance of my salvation. And so I'm debtor to the individuals in my life, Sunday school teachers and others. As I'm preaching here downstairs, we have several boys and girls down there, and they're Sunday school teachers that are investing their time and their prayers and teaching these boys and girls about the love of God. And the reality is that all of us are debtors, first of all, to God and for the glorious gospel of saving us, but also the influence that other people have invested in our life. We did not get to where we are in our own efforts. Other people have helped us. And so just take some time and think about all of those who has been an influence in your life. I'm a debtor to Pastor Clayton, who after Bible college, I came to work alongside of him with no experience whatsoever, and his investment and his time in my life. We all have influence on other people, and we all have been influenced. And so thank God for those people who have come beside us and helped us. And let me say to you that all of us ought to help other people. We ought to help other people to run the race that is set before us. And so the Apostle Paul, he's talking about spiritual debt here. He's talking about all of those people that were a part of his life, but also he's talking about specifically about Christ's work in his life. Now I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 15. And look what the Bible says here. Paul never forget what he was before he met Jesus. And the Lord changed his life completely. And notice what he writes here, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He's writing here to Timothy, another I am statement here. He says in chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 1, verse number 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This statement that Paul is going to make, it's worthy to be accepted by everyone. This is a powerful statement that he's talking about. And he says, listen, what I'm about to say, it's worthy for you to accept this message of truth. He says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, I think God used the Apostle Paul in a great way because he was in such extremes in his life. And he says here, I'm the chief of sinners. And if God can change and God can save the chief of sinners, then that means God can save anyone and God can do a work in anyone's life. And here he remembers where he was before Christ saved him. You know, we're always in our world today, everyone wants to be an expert at something. Some people want to be an expert in everything. The reality is it cannot happen. But one thing that we are all great at doing is sinning. We are all great sinners. And the Bible says that where sin abounds, I like this, grace much more abounds. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that God saved the chief of sinners. I'm glad that God saved the best moral person that ever walked this earth, because we're all in between there. If God could save a Nicodemus and God can save a Paul, then that means you can fit yourself right in there somewhere. God can save you. God can change your life. And the Apostle Paul never forgot where he was before he met the Lord. He was merely a sinner saved by grace. And this is the debt that he's talking about. I am a debtor. The gospel of Jesus Christ has changed my life. And the Apostle Paul says, that didn't just change my life. He says, God gave me a ministry. This is incredible. God didn't just forgive the debt of sin. God gave him, Paul, a task to do. God made him a minister to serve in his church. That's a wonderful blessing to be used of God in any way. I'm so thankful that God called me to preach. And people ask me, they'll often say, how do you know that God called you to preach? I can't explain it. I really can't. I just knew that God wanted me to be a preacher, and I couldn't shake it. God knows I tried to. I was ready to go to a computer college. I had my application signed. I was leaving in a couple of weeks. That's what I wanted to do, but I could not shake the fact that God wanted me to be a preacher. And God had a ministry for me to do. And God has a ministry for you to do. I heard the story of a retired preacher that became a lifeguard. And it didn't work very well for him because people were drowning and they were putting up their hand. And he was on that bench and he was just looking at them saying, I see that hand, God bless you. I see that hand, God bless you. I see that hand, God bless you. God has a ministry for us. And it's a blessing to be a part of what God has called us to do. The Apostle Paul never forgot where he was and where he went to because of the grace of God. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, we also are reminded that we have an obligation, a debt to those who have never heard the gospel. When we read the book of Romans, the Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. hearing by the word of God. And the Bible teaches us that those cannot believe, individuals cannot believe in a message that they have not heard. And then the Bible says, and how will they hear except they be sent, except they be a preacher? We were on vacation, we were sitting down relaxing, and we were talking about the future. And my son said to me, Dad, I know what I want to do when I grow up. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, son. I said, maybe you can teach me what I need to do when I grow up. And so we were talking. He says, I want to go to Bible college. I want to be a preacher. I said, Alan, that's a blessing. But I said, Alan, don't be a preacher because I'm a preacher. You don't go and be a preacher because Daddy's a preacher. You be a preacher because God has called you to be a preacher. And I said, you just be patient and you just wait and you pray about it and God will reveal to you if he wants you to be a preacher. But don't jump in because, you know, it's not a family business to be a preacher, all right? It's God's business. And we all are preachers. When the Bible says, how shall they hear except they be sent? It's not talking about just a preacher behind the pulpit. It's also talking about a preacher in a workplace. It's talking about a preacher in the neighborhood. God has brought you to that neighborhood to be a preacher. Remember that. God has brought you there to be a preacher. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I live in a very hard, difficult place. It's a hard place. It's a difficult place. Well, you know what? God has put you there to be a preacher, to be a light in a dark and perverse world. And so we're talking about not just a preacher behind the pulpit, but a preacher in a workplace and a preacher in your family. There's grandkids and children that need a gospel witness. And so the Lord has called you to be a preacher. How will they hear except there be a preacher? A co-worker needs a gospel witness. And so listen, the reality is we are all preachers. We all have an obligation to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says here, we owe a debt. And all of us today, we owe a debt to those who helped us, that came alongside of us. And not only that, we owe a debt to the gospel of Jesus Christ that changed our life. Let me say this. I hope you know Christ today. I hope that you are saved. I hope that you've put your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, that you're a part of the family of God. Number two, let's think about this in our text, number 15, verse number 15, Romans chapter 1. Not only is he a debtor, but also Paul says, I am ready. Verse number 15, the Bible says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I am a debtor both to the wise and to the unwise. The barbarians were the non-Greeks of the day. And he says, listen, no matter who you are, Paul says, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. And I am, this is the expression, I am ready to preach the gospel. You see, Paul wasn't just resigned to go. Paul was ready to go. Now that word there, ready, is a powerful word. It carries the idea of being eager to do God's will. The idea of chomping at the bit speaks of a racehorse who's ready to get out of that chute and to start that race. And that really describes the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture when he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. The idea is that he was chomping at the bit. He was ready. He was excited. He was passionate to start to preach the gospel in Rome. He was ready, the Bible says. Paul was totally committed. He was totally committed. He was passionate. In fact, let's look at what the Bible says in verse 15. Maybe you missed it. Let me remind you. He says, as much as in me is. As much as in me is. The idea here is with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I am passionate. I am excited. I am ready to preach the gospel to you. I am committed. Let me ask you this question. Does this describe your passion for the Lord Jesus? Occasionally, I'll watch a sports show or a sport on television, and there are many to choose from. I watched a little bit of the Raptors. I'm not a basketball fan, but I kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and I'll watch a hockey game. And when you watch sporting events, sometimes what they'll do is they'll pan into the audience and they'll show the fans. And some of these fans, I mean, they are very passionate for their team. They're very passionate for the sport. And some individuals, I mean, they go all out. They dress up in team colors. They paint their face. How many have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. They paint their face. I mean, they go all out. They are true, and you hear this a lot. They are true fans. You know where the word fan comes from? It comes from the word fanatic. That's where you get the word fan. It's actually shortened from the word fanatic. And you say, well, they are true fans. And what you are saying is that they are true fanatics. And they truly are. I mean, they are passionate about their hockey team. They are passionate, Brother Jim. They're passionate about their football team. They're passionate about their basketball team. We were on camping at the KOA, and there was a young boy there. He was all decked out in Raptors fans. And I mean, he was a true fan. He was a fanatic. That's all he talked about was Raptors this and Raptors that. We went to one store, and it was called the Coca-Cola store. Everything in that store was Coca-Cola, and all the Coca-Cola fans, they all came and they all loved it. They were taking pictures. I mean, even the floor had Coca-Cola symbols there, and the stools had Coca-Cola. I walked up to the cashier, no lie. I walked up to the cashier and I said, "Hey, do you guys serve Pepsi?" She said, "No, you won't find it here." Because it's only Coca-Cola fans allowed. Only fanatics of Coca-Cola could come here. The reality is that it's okay to be a sports fanatic in our society. But even in Christian circles, don't dare be a fanatic for Jesus. Don't dare be a fanatic for church. What do you mean you go to church three times a week? What do you mean you go out and tell people about Jesus?
You have been listening to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns, pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church. We hope that this message has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for more than 10 years. He is passionate about the Word of God and God's answers for today's problems. If Pastor Burns' ministry has helped you, he would love to hear your story. Connect with us online at timelesstruths.ca. You can help keep Timeless Truths Radio Ministry on the air by financially supporting this ministry. For more information on how you can partner with us, please visit our website at timelesstruths.ca or call us at 519-579-2236. Now, here is Pastor Burns with our Timeless Truth for today.
God has called us to be fanatics. God has called us to be fans of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are a part of the biggest and greatest program in all the world, and that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So we need to be a part. We need to get excited about what God has called us to do. And so whether, you know, you're preaching to friends or to family or to neighbors or whoever it is, we want the world to know that Jesus has saved us, He's washed our sins away, and has given us a new life in Christ. This is our timeless truth today, to be a preacher of the gospel and to love the gospel message, to embrace the gospel message, and to preach it wherever we go. God bless you.
Many times it seems that I forget just what it means to be forgiven. And people cannot tell if I am bound for heaven or hell by how I'm living. Then my Savior reminds me just who I am, and that I'm a child of the King. And I think about the day when that precious Lamb gave me hope and a song to sing. I never shall forget the day when Jesus washed my sins away and gave me peace and happiness of mind. And though I don't know why He saved me, I praise Him for all He gave me every day and the promises I find. When I don't know the way to go, He tells me that He loves me so and points me to the cross of Calvary. Amazing grace has been my song and I'll keep singing all day long, cause I know what He did for me.
People
ask me why I live my life to glorify the one who loves me. They ask me for the reason why I live to serve and please the one above me. It never takes me very long to think about. There are many things that I could say, but the blessings that he's given me just make me shout, and he gets sweeter every day.
I never shall forget the day when Jesus washed my sins away and gave me peace and happiness of mind. And though I don't know why he saved me, I praise him for all he gave me every day and the promises I find. When I don't know the way to go, he tells me that he loves me so and points me to the cross of Calvary. Amazing grace has been my song, and I'll keep singing all day long, cause I know what he did for me. I never shall forget the day when Jesus washed my sins away and gave me peace and happiness of mind. And though I don't know why he saved me, I praise him for all he gave me every day, no promises I find. When I don't know the way to go, he tells me that he loves me so and points me to the cross of Calvary. Amazing grace has been my song, and I'll keep singing all day long, cause I know what he did for me. Amazing grace has been my song, and I'll keep singing all day long, cause I know what he did for me.
Weekends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.
Hey, it's Pastor Jerry Burns, and I just wanted to tell you that at Kitchener Baptist Church, we have a bus ministry that picks up boys and girls and moms and dads and brings them to church every single Sunday morning. We've been running this bus ministry for over 15 years, and God has provided financially so that we can offer this ministry for absolutely no cost. So I hope that you'll call us at 519-579-2236 and ask about our bus ministry today.